The epistle for the Sunday within the octave of the Ascension. Beloved, be prudent and watchful in prayers, but above all things, have a constant mutual charity among yourselves, for charity covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without murmuring. According to the gift that each has received, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let it be as with words of God. If anyone ministers, let it be as from the strength that God furnishes, that in all things God may be honored through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gospel is taken from that according to St. John. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "But when the Advocate is come, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness concerning me. And you also will bear witness, because from the beginning you are with me. These things I have spoken to you, that you may not be scandalized. They will expel you from the synagogues. Yes, the hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering worship to God. And these things they will do because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have spoken to you, that when the time for them has come, you may remember that I told you." Blessed are the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On Thursday, we celebrated the Feast of the Ascension of our Lord into heaven. And we recalled how, after our Lord was hidden behind the clouds, two angels, who appeared as men, stood among those apostles, disciples, and the holy women who were up there on the Mount of Olives, and they addressed them with these words, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up into heaven? This Jesus whom is taken up from you into heaven shall so come as you have seen him going into heaven." At these words, then, all those who were present turned and descended down the Mount of Olives, and they went back to Jerusalem, where they went into an upper room. And in the Acts of the Apostles, we hear what they did there, that all those who were there were persevering with one mind in prayer with the women and with Mary, the mother of Jesus. There are three dispositions which we must have in order to be able to receive the Holy Spirit. And in this one verse of the Acts of the Apostles, all three are given to us. And it is that we must persevere with one mind in prayer, as the apostles, as the disciples were doing. And so these three things, if we want to separate them, are prayer, persevering prayer, and then being of one mind with one another. So there's prayer, but it has to be persevering, and then to be of one mind with one another. And what is this one mind with one another? This is charity. This is to be perfectly united in charity and in love with our neighbor. Next Sunday is the Feast of Pentecost. This is the day when Christ, or when the Holy Spirit, descended upon the apostles, the holy women there in the upper room. But today, St. Peter was one of those 11 apostles who was preparing himself for the Holy Spirit. And in today's epistle, he speaks to us of what we must do. He tells us to be prudent and to be watchful in prayer, but before all things, have a constant mutual charity. A constant mutual charity. He's focusing our attention on charity, right? This is that persevering with one mind. That third aspect, that third disposition that we have to have in order to be able to receive the Holy Ghost into our souls. And so if we think about charity, we should always examine ourselves on charity. Obviously, we do this every time we make an examination of conscience. But a few things that we can ask ourselves today are, we remember that Christ warned his apostles that they would be judged based on how they fulfilled the 7 corporal works of mercy and the 7 spiritual works of mercy. We can ask ourselves, do I truly love all men as Christ? Do I love all men for Christ? We could say, ask, do I regard even the humblest, even the lowliest person with respect, which is due to Christ? Do I behave graciously towards those who I love and admire, as well as to those who I may dislike or despise? No matter which. St. Francis of Assisi called beggars and lepers and even robbers his brothers because he saw Christ in each one of them. Beggars, lepers, and even robbers. Pretty much everyone fits into this category. And he called them his brethren because he saw them. He saw in them Christ. Do I see Christ in all, even in these types of people? Do I have this mentality where I, when I'm called upon to be charitable towards others, or I ask, am I my brother's keeper? When something is asked of me by my neighbor or even by God through actual grace, am I quick to just get to that mentality where I ask, am I my brother's keeper? Why am I being asked to do this? Are we, when we do perform one of these acts of charity that we're called upon to do, are we able to do it generously, or do we always seem to be inclined to let that person know that we are being put out? You know, maybe we're willing to do this, but we can't do it without a hint at the fact that, you know what, I'm really going out for you here. I'm really doing something very generous for you. Is that not always, that mentality not always found somewhere in these acts of charity that we perform? Are we able to really do it completely and generously for people without that tainting our good works? Do we drag our feet so that they know that we're not exactly happy to do this, but not so much as to harm our reputation? We don't want to make others think that we are not generous, but at the same time, we want them to understand just how generous we really are being. These are things that we always have to be very careful about, watching out for. So many times we hesitate when we're called upon to be charitable, to give of ourselves. We hesitate. We drag our feet before we finally say yes. We have to be careful of this too. When we are asked to do something, we have to be spontaneous in our response. We have to say yes without debating yet to do it or not to do it, to follow this impulse of grace or not to follow it. The more we debate, the less likely we are to go forward with the grace that God is offering to us. We have to spontaneously, almost impulsively, just say yes when God's grace presents itself to us. Do I do this, or do I hesitate too many times, deliberating over whether or not this is a good idea? Do we say yes on our lips only, but not in our hearts? Hopefully for all of us, these are things that we're working on. These are things that we try to do, to be able to give ourselves completely to God through these acts of charity towards others, that we do try to get rid of those selfish desires in our acts of charity towards others. But this is a good thing for us to consider, that our acts of charity towards other people, they can't be half-baked. What do we mean by this? In the gospel yesterday, we heard the parable about our Lord. The Lord gave us about the master who gave 5 talents to one servant, 2 talents to another, and then only one talent to the final servant. Then he goes away and he comes back and he finds the first two have doubled what they had. The one who had 5 now has 10, the other had 2. And now he has 4 talents, but the third only had 1 talent still. He had hidden it, and he gained nothing from it. The Gergou Lagrange tells us that God is more honored by one work of charity, which is of 10 talents, than by 10 works of charity of only 1 talent. In other words, God wants us to be very generous in the work that we do, not limiting what we do, the amount of charity, the amount of good works that we do, but saying that it is greater that we perform one work of charity with our whole heart than that we perform 10 in a very, very weak manner. God does not want us to be tepid souls. He doesn't want us to say, I'll give you half of my heart, but the other half I'm going to keep for myself. And what happens to that half which we keep for ourselves, that we keep inside selfishly? It rots and then it dies inside of us. Not only is it not used for good for another person, but it actually turns into poison for our own hearts, for our own souls. If there was a farmer who had a field, say he was going to plant one row of corn. The soil was very fertile. It was all tilled up, ready to go. All he had to do was drop in the seeds. He takes the bag of the seeds, the corn seeds, and he starts to put them in the ground. He puts one, two, three. He goes a little while. And then he gets tired and he says, okay, that's enough. I'm going to stop. He had everything he needed there. The soil was ready. It was fertile. All he needed to do was go to the end, and he would have had a great harvest. But instead, he stopped early, and he missed out on so much of the harvest that he could have had for having just gone the rest of the way. So on one hand, he's losing out on this harvest for this year, and he's foolish for having done that. But also, what's going to happen to those seeds? He's going to leave them to the side, and they're going to rot, and then they'll never be able to be used. Wasted. Wasted. And we need these in order so that in a way like the next season, the next year comes, we will have more seeds that we can plant again. Grace builds upon grace. And so when we miss out on one grace, we're missing out not just on that one, but on many in the future as well. We have to give ourselves completely. God wants us to have pure acts of charity. God wants us to have generous acts of charity. He wants us to have complete acts of charity, going all the way for him and for our neighbor, not just halfway, all the way. St. Teresa of Avila said to her Heavenly Father, she prayed to him, I am yours, and I was born for you. Show me your will, O God. Do you want me to give you all of my heart? I will give you all of my heart. Complete acts of charity. So next Sunday is the Feast of Pentecost. We can think of how right now the apostles were in that upper room preparing themselves by perseverant prayer and by living in charity with one another. They went to the upper room to separate themselves from the distractions and from the noise, from the unnecessary temptations that the world has to offer. And we should try to do something similar. We can say to ourselves, well, I have to go to work, I have to go to school, I have to take care of the house. Or maybe we'll say, well, my life's kind of slow, but I can't really make it any quieter than it already is. How do I go into the upper room when I have to go about my daily business? And this is the way we can do it. It's by taking those acts of charity that we're being called upon every day to do and to try to do them more perfectly, to try to do them as completely as we possibly can. This is the way that we are going to be able to make ourselves the most perfectly disposed as possible to receive the Holy Ghost on Pentecost. And really not just on Pentecost, but on every day of our lives. When we open up our hearts to the world, when we're out in the world, and remember this isn't just by being in the world and being in the workplace or being taking care of things, but this is also when we're refusing to act completely on the impulses of grace, when we're refusing to give ourselves completely to these actions which God is inspiring us to do, these actions of charity. When we are not separating ourselves from the world by giving ourselves completely to God, we're opening our hearts to let evil in. But when we close our hearts through this act of trying to give ourselves completely to God, when our hearts are closed, there's only one being that can enter within. And we know who this is. We think about the words of the gospel on Easter Sunday. The doors were shut, just like our hearts should be shut to the outside world. The doors were shut where the disciples were gathered together, and Jesus came and stood in their midst. 7 days later, again, after 8 days, the doors being shut, Jesus came. When we close ourselves off to the evils of the world, we allow God to enter in. Think about, again, those apostles preparing right now to receive the Holy Spirit. They are in the upper room. They're withdrawn from the world. They've closed their hearts off to the world. And so now only one being can enter, and that being is the Holy Spirit. And he's going to descend upon them in those tongues of fire. on Pentecost Sunday. We need to take their example of giving ourselves through these constant acts of charity, living of one mind, so that we can also dispose ourselves. We can close off the world so that God can enter into our souls. The Holy Ghost can descend upon us. And this is a good prayer for us that we should have in our hearts today. Here's a good prayer that we should offer to God. O good and merciful Savior, my greatest sorrow is that my heart is so cold, so selfish, so ungrateful. Deeply sensible of my own weakness and shortcomings, I trust that your grace will enable me to offer you an act of pure love, an act of complete and generous love. O Jesus, I love you above all things that can be loved, above all pleasures, above myself. The angel said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up into heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall come, so come as he has gone. And when he comes, and when he looks at us, what will he see? Is he going to find hearts which are still cold, still selfish, and still ungrateful? Or will he find hearts which are generous and which are pure in intention?" If we try to make those acts of charity which we perform every day as pure and as complete as possible, then our hearts will be melted. Then the selfishness will have disappeared. And then we will have gratitude to Christ for what he has given to us. Listen again to the words of St. Peter from the epistle today. And remember that St. Peter, he struggled too. He denied our Lord 3 times. Much of the time he was with our Lord was for a selfish purpose, right? He wanted to be associated with Christ because Christ was being honored and was being recognized for his good deeds. And so his motivation for being with Christ, certainly it was good, but it wasn't completely perfect. He denied our Lord 3 times, but he tried. And he's an example for us to follow. We are not perfect yet, but if we try like him, we can reach the goal. He warns us. He's been through it, right? He was one of those who was in the upper room preparing for the Holy Spirit. And today he's telling us, before all things, have a constant and mutual charity. Constant and mutual charity. This is what we need to focus on. Complete acts of charity. Not being selfish. Not allowing our pride to make us only give ourselves 1/3 or half of the way to this act of charity for another person. Hide your dissatisfaction. Give yourself completely to Christ. And then he will give himself completely to you. God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.